Ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to accept your invitation to speak here tonight. It is a praiseworthy initiative of UNESCO to have brought together a number of speakers to reflect on themes relating to the future as we approach a new millennium. The basic principle of our action to promote and consolidate human rights is that those who grossly abuse human rights must be held accountable for their actions. There must be no impunity for those who commit gross human rights abuses or crimes against humanity. That is why the creation of the International Criminal Court is a major breakthrough. Once it is set up, the court will have the same task as any national criminal court: to prosecute, to educate, to punish, to deter. The court has the potential to put an end to the cycle of impunity and establish individual criminal responsibility. I urge all states to ratify the court's statute drawn up in Rome last year so that the court can get on with its vital work. The indictment of President Milosevic and others for alleged war crimes in Kosovo will be a test of the international community's resolve to engage in due process against impunity. The conflict is the first to take place where a court, the International Tribunal for the Former Yugoslavia, exercises jurisdiction. My office is cooperating closely with the staff of the tribunal to help them to identify potential witnesses of gross violations, and it will continue to do so. We must pay as much attention to securing economic, social, and cultural rights as we do to civil and political rights. It would be illogical to expect civil societies to flourish if access to education, healthcare, food and water is denied to millions. Yet the reality is that over a billion people, the majority of them women and children, live in extreme poverty. Countries rich in resources have a strong moral obligation to direct financial assistance to poorer countries so as to enable their people to secure economic and social rights. Unfortunately, resource transfers are falling, and the United Nations target of spending 0.7% of national budgets on aid to development now looks more elusive than ever. It would be very short-sighted to deprive countries of vital resources. The only outcome of that would be to hinder the consolidation of democracy and good government, two of the surest guarantees of human rights. A positive measure, which would be especially appropriate at the start of the new millennium, is the cancellation of the debts of the poorest nations. This would send a clear signal that the needs of the most indebted nations have not been forgotten. But our action to promote human rights must also be based on prevention, and a key component of prevention is education, and that topic is especially relevant to this meeting. We are in the middle of the UN Decade of Human Rights Education, an initiative that has given an extra impetus to efforts to get the human rights message to every corner of the globe. I admire greatly the work that UNESCO is doing in the field of education, and I'm happy to report that UNESCO and my office are cooperating closely on a number of projects. For example, ministers of education throughout the world have been urged to post the Universal Declaration publicly in every one of their schools as a fitting way to follow up on last year's 50th anniversary. Both UNESCO and my office have been active in translating the declaration, which is now available in over 250 languages.